Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, enjoy, and inwardly digest them, that we may by patience of thy holy word embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. I was blessed and fortunate to have been my mother's first child. As when I was little, a little boy, she was still mindful of her Baptist background, which for her involved teaching and helping me learn the books of the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, doing sword drills with her, Baptist style, memorizing Psalms and Bible verses. It was good training for me that by the time my sister and brother came along, Mama's health was precarious, and she was too busy basic mothering so that Gina and Walt did not get that early memory work that is such a treasure to me and that fills my heart to this day. In the Episcopal Church, most of us preach on the gospel. The gospel for the Sunday, you can count on it. And I did too most of my years as a parish priest. For better or for worse, though, it is me, after all my pulpit time through the three-year cycles, preaching numerous times on every gospel in the lectionary, it is me to rebel somewhat if I wish. And so this morning, though, I may return to this eccentric gospel with Jesus' delightful practice of astonishing us by kicking upside down the garbage cans of our assumptions and certainties, as he seems to do here. I'll leave the gospel, at least for the moment. I also will let go of the collect, this wonderful collect that was new for Cranmer's 1549 prayer book because the Reformation Church was bending toward deeper interest in the Bible. This morning's collect is a prayer that for centuries has been a favorite for many, myself included, especially to open worship, to open Sunday school, to open Bible study, except that to hear, mark, learn, I insert, enjoy, and inwardly digest. And today it's Judges that gets my notice. Our Old Testament lesson today is, in fact, the one and only time in the three-year cycle that the Sunday lectionary has us reading from the book of Judges, which I think is a shame, and we are somewhat the poorer for it. As a boy, I learned good old-time Bible stories when I went to Sunday school with my grandfather and first cousins at East Hill Baptist Church in Pensacola, including stories from Judges of Gideon and Samson. Some of the other stories in Judges are too rough, gross, and gruesome for Sunday school kids. Episcopalians likely do not know this dynamic old storybook that made it into the Hebrew Bible, though not quite the Torah, the Pentateuch, five books of Moses. But Judges is still, and nevertheless, old salvation lore that Bible scholars call Heilsgeschichte, holy history. And it warrants a few minutes this morning. You heard it as it was so beautifully read, and I appreciate that, especially with all the strange words in it. Thank you so much. We have a brutally vicious war story here. What might we learn from it? How might it apply to us? Maybe we can get good news of gospel out of Judges this morning, and I promise you I shall try. If you are worried about the length that I'm likely to go to, let me tell you that 30-some years ago when we first moved to Apalachicola and I was the rector at Trinity Episcopal Church over there, One of my best friends was the pastor of a Pentecostal church in town, and he kept pushing and pressing and picking at me to come preach at his Sunday evening service. Some of you have heard this little story before, and finally I did. And I went out the country road to his church and had a good-sized congregation, including a lot of kids, a lot of high school kids, including children, young people from my daughter's Sunday school class who knew my daughter. And I preached the same exact sermon that I had preached that morning at Trinity Church. And when the service was over, I stood at the door, as we are wont to do. And this one girl who was in my daughter's class in high school said, "Brother Weller, I love your preaching." And my head swells up a little bit bigger than ever. And I said, "Well, thank you. What do you like about it?" And she says, "It was short." So what is Judges? Just as the book of Joshua continues the history of Israel after the death of Moses, so the book of Judges continues that same history after the death of Joshua. And by this time, if you look at the very first couple of chapters of the book, by this time the Israelites are scattered. They have tribal bonds with each other, but they are not united as they seem to have been under Moses and Joshua, and certainly not as they yet will be under the kings who follow the judges. When Samuel, who is more or less God's final judge and God's transition authority, when Samuel anoints that disastrous King Saul, and then the everlastingly beloved shepherd King David, Judges records a recurring cycle in which, and I'm going to count, one, the people live peacefully under a charismatic hero, Shaphatim, judges, until the judge dies. And then two, the people fall into such terrible sin and blasphemy that three, God turns them over to be tormented by one of their enemies, until four, in time, the people repent and God feels sorry for their suffering. And five, God redeems them by raising up a new hero to overthrow their captors and be their judge. And they live peacefully under, etc., etc., etc. And so the book of Judges is a play of the classical theological cycle, creation, sin, judgment, repentance, redemption, where it cycles over and over and over again in this wonderful old book. Now, the judges of Israel were not simply jurists sitting on a bench in a courtroom, as we might think, but they were men and women with larger-than-life personalities who commanded respect and love and who stepped up to whatever challenge the people were facing, commanding armies to victory in battle, as well as settling legal matters, property issues, claims, and disputes. They were heroes. And if you were to bring it into American life, compare George Washington or Abraham Lincoln. So there was Othniel, who judged Israel. And then the victorious but gruesome story of Ehud, judge of Israel. Do not read Judges chapter 3. It is too graphic. Do not read it as chapter 3. And then Shamgar, who was a judge, and today, and our story, Deborah as judge commanding Israel in defeating Sisera's mighty army. That's our Old Testament reading and story this morning. Sisera himself, the general or king, escapes the battlefield. And I guess the lectionary framers who decided what we're going to read on Sunday morning thought it not appropriate to read this when children are present. And so the bloody end of today's story is omitted, but I'll print it with my sermon on my blog post later today. The death of Sisera at the hands of a woman who beguiled him into trusting her. Today's Old Testament story of intrigue and murder. What can we draw from Judges with its continuing theological cycle of creation, sin, judgment, repentance, and redemption. As a minimum, we find out in this old book that God, who is with us in our goodness, God can also make himself our worst enemy in our sinful disobedience. But also that God, nevertheless and always, is a softy for forgiveness and restoration when we turn again to the Lord. Poor Yahweh, he's such a lamb. He never gives up on us. He never gives up on us. And that's the gospel of Judges. It's a great read in place of the rubbish people watch on TV. Try the Bible. Try it. You may like it, Sam I am. Now to finish, I'll return to Matthew's gospel, where from the lips of Jesus himself, we hear a parable that trashes our assumptions and certainties. God is grace, and God is love, and God is generous, but God is no fool. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like when you use your God-given talents to make God proud. But when our gracious and ever-loving God is confronted by sorry, lazy stupidity, it sure as hell is not heaven. Hoseke uta akuen akuetu. He that has ears to hear, let him hear.